You have your Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. As we go through a brief topical study, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for Jesus to come? He says he's coming. The rapture of the church will happen. With a shout and a trumpet blow, we will be caught up. Those who are alive and those who had passed, their bodies will meet us in the sky. We will be with Christ forever. That has to happen before the Antichrist is revealed and the end time events that happen as the Antichrist makes a treaty with Israel for 7 years. Are you ready for that rapture? Well, we were all anticipating the Revelation chapter 12 sign was in the sky September 23rd. The 2 days before that was the Feast of Trumpets. We were hoping, is it now? Can it happen? It could happen, but it didn't happen. And because it didn't happen, listen, God just given us another opportunity for grace to bring someone else into the kingdom, into the throne room of God. People got saved last night. If the rapture happened, I don't know. Who knows? Right? So I know people that said, hey, if it doesn't happen this year, I'm going to be really upset. No, don't be upset, because we don't know God's plan, right? But we know he says he's coming. At the end of the 19th century, two French writers went to visit the well-known French scientist Pierre Berthelot. Berthelot was kind of a scientific prophet. He forecast some of the weapons of mass destruction which would appear in the next century. He said to the writers, we have only begun to list the alphabet of destruction, and silence fell over the meeting. Then an elder of the two writers said quietly, I think before the time comes, God will come like a great gatekeeper with the keys dangling at his waist, saying, gentlemen, it's closing time. This curtain is closing. The end is coming. What happens to the believer? Well, it's all good for us. It's really bad for those who don't believe. And that's our opportunity and responsibility to make disciples, followers of Christ, telling him about the love of the Lord. Romans 5, God, we have peace with our Maker. When we come to his saving grace, we have peace with our Maker. Access to his throne through Jesus Christ. Oh, things may be difficult. There is trials and tribulations, but he's with us through it. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace, God didn't stop them from going to the furnace. What did he do? He jumped in there with them. God is with us through our situations and through our troubles and times, good and bad. God is with us. We are his children. And he says that all things will work out for the good of those who are in Christ, those who are called according to his purpose. But the believer is supposed to be watching for the signs and the seasons of his coming. Now, here's what happens. Everybody throws this out like a parrot. Oh, well, no, not the time nor the hour. Well, no, not the time nor the hour. Let's talk about that this morning. Let's talk about what Jesus was talking about. What time was he talking about? Was he talking about the rapture of the church? Was he talking about his coming back or the end of the millennial period? Very important that we understand that. Because as soon as you talk about, hey, man, look at all the things that are happening around us. Oh, we know, not the time nor the hour. That's what people say. And I'm just making light of it, but we're going to get serious because it's a serious thing. Matthew chapter 24, 24, verse 3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? So underline that if you have your own Bible. So you have an understanding. Who asked him, and what did they ask? He asked them, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answered to them and said, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and I will... And he will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be a famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places, and all these things are the beginning of sorrows. When have we read about these things? In Revelation, When the judgment happens, when the seals are opened and the trumpet judgments are poured out upon the earth because they did not believe in God. Where is the Christian? Christian's in heaven with the Lord. Okay? Just so everybody knows. For nation will rise up against nation, verse 9, and then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Kind of feels like that today, don't it? It's kind of a picture of what's going on. But he who endures to the end shall be saved, and the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Let's continue on. Verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoke of in Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Listen, stop right there. God wants us to know and understand the events and the things that will transpire in the end times, during the tribulation period, and when he comes back, so that we have an understanding. This is why it's called revelation. He's revealing these things to us. At one time a mystery, now the Holy Spirit is giving us wisdom. Verse 16, and that let those who are in Judah flee to the mountains. Let him who is in the housetop not go down to take anything out of the house, and let him who is in the field not go back to his clothes, but woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. Those days, he's speaking of the times of the tribulation time. And pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. So this is something that has never happened before and never will happen again. The events that will be happening on the earth. And unless those days be shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake. Who are the elect? The Jews are the elect. The Jewish people are the elect. The church is the bride of Christ. The groom has gone to his Father's house. That is Jesus, to prepare a place for us, so that when he comes back, he receives the bride unto himself, and that we would be in the heavenly places with him. The elect is the Jew who's still here on earth. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe, for false Christ and false prophets will rise up and show, listen, great signs and wonders to deceive. Who gives him the power to do that? Satan, right? There are many people that think, oh, no, he doesn't have any power. Well, he has a power approved by the Lord, but there will be great signs and wonders to deceive. Now, I've talked about other ministries where they were just totally demonic and how all these people fooled, and where parents are turning their kids over to the churches and they're being molested. It's crazy, but it's true. It happens. Why? They're deceived. If possible, even elect, see, I have told you beforehand. And so God wants us to know. Did you read that? I told you beforehand. That's in the verse 25. See, I've told you beforehand so that you would know the things that will happen. Therefore, if they say to you, look, here in the desert, do not go out and look, and here is in the inner rooms, do not believe, for as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. There are people today that said, well, Christ came. He came in the Spirit. His second coming's already happened. Well, did you see the lightning flash from the east and from the west? Has there been anything that has never happened until this time, nor ever shall be? No, these things have not happened. The disasters, the earthquakes, the floods, the killing that will happen on the earth because they've rejected the Son, he explains his coming. Now, when he left, how did he leave? He ascended into the heavens, right? He ascended into the clouds. And he says, I'm coming the same way. He's coming the same way in the clouds. He's going to call us up. The church is gone at that point. Forever, or for wherever the carcass is, their eagles will be gathered together. There'll be a lot of death and things happening on the earth. Let's continue on. Now make note of this, because we're looking at a timeline so that we have an understanding, so nobody can fool us. Oh yeah, Jesus came in the Spirit already. We're in the tribulation period right now. Look at the earthquakes that happened in Mexico. We've had two hurricanes happening here in Florida. This is the tribulation. It's not the tribulation. We're still here. Like, I had somebody text me on the 23rd, the night of the 23rd, which is a Saturday night, and the Revelation sign was in the sky. And those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, come see me after. I'll show it to you. And I said, hey, man, I'm glad you text me because I'm still here, right? Like, I'm glad somebody else is here. Anyway, Matthew 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the Son of Man, who will appear in the heavens, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. This is when he comes back with us. When he comes back to earth, because those who killed him will mourn and say, oh, this was the Messiah. And he will send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they will gather together the elect from the four winds, from one end to the other. And now, here we go with what Jesus says, verse 26, or 36. But the day and the hour no one knows, even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as the days before the flood there were eating and drinking and marrying and giving to marriage, until the day that Noah went into the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. Two men will be in the field, one of them will be taken out and the other left. Two women will be grinding in the mill, one will be taken away. This is not the rapture, okay? The church has already been raptured. When this happens, it's the taking away, it's the separation of the goats and the sheep. The righteous will be taken away in the rapture, and the evil will be left. At this point, he's saying the opposite happens, okay? Because there will be people saved during the tribulation period. But he will take them, and they will be waiting for their judgment time. But know this, verse 43, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allow his house to be broken into. Therefore, there's instructions here for us. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Now, he's speaking of his second coming at the time of at the end of the millennial period, when there'll be judgment. When he says no man knows the hour or the time, he's speaking of the end of the tribulation period and perhaps even the end of the millennial period. He's not speaking about the rapture. Do we know the day or the hour of the rapture? No. But we know the times and the seasons for us to be looking and waiting and watching. Because he says to them, well, you can even... Because they knew his first coming. Yes, they missed it, though. They hailed him king on Palm Sunday, right? But he wasn't the king that they expected. And Jesus says, even you, Jerusalem, should have known the appearance of the Messiah. You should have known from the Old Testament prophets the coming of the Lord, your Messiah. But you missed it. And he wept. He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I wanted to cuddle you as a hen cuddles its chicks, but you didn't want it. So they knew through Scripture the time Jesus Christ would come as king. And they hailed him king, but they rejected him. In the same way, he speaks of the seasons and the times. He says, you look at the signs, pink sky morning, sailor's warning, pink sky night, sailor's delight, but you don't know the seasons and the times that we're living in. We're seeing these things happen before our eyes. The nation of Israel, 1948, becomes a nation. Next year, it's its 70th year anniversary. Israel went into captivity for 70 years in Babylon and was set free. It's been a nation for 70 years. This is a significant year. Right now and next year. Is he coming? I don't know. I hope so. Are you ready? Are you watching? Are you waiting? He's telling us to. Let me read to you Revelation 16, verse 15. Ready? Those of you taking notes, Revelation 16, 15. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is, and meaning unexpected, right? Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. In other words, the one who's watching and anticipating, he's not coming as a thief too. Let's continue. Revelation 3, 3. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief. So if we're watching and waiting, we're not going to be surprised as if a thief. So he's telling the church to be watching, to be waiting, to look at the signs, look in the heavenly places, waiting upon the Lord. If you do not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour. Now he's given an hour. If we're not watching, we won't know the hour. I will come upon you. So first he says watch, and then there's an hour. 1 Thessalonians 5. But concerning the times and the seasons, you have no need that I should write to you, because he's already spoken about it, right, brother? Absolutely. For you yourselves perfectly listen, let me go back. And if you're taking notes, 1 Thessalonians 5. But concerning the times we live and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, the 21st was National Peace Day in United Nations. They declared it Peace Day. So when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Verse 4, do not miss this. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. Did you hear that? No man knows nor the day nor the hour. And that's true. Only the Lord knows when that time will be. We don't have that time. But he's telling us to watch. Revelation 3, he speaks of the hour. And now in Thessalonians 5, he speaks of the day. That it will not take you as a thief, because you are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Are you waiting for the Lord to come and rapture the church? Man, I hope it happens this afternoon, right after lunch. Like right after lunch, we'll be full. Let's take a trip. Are you watching and waiting? He's coming. This is what he tells us. Now, I don't have the exact date or time, but we know and we believe that the church will be raptured at the Feast of Trumpets. The first four feasts Jesus has fulfilled, there's three more left. The Feast of Trumpets, we believe to be the rapture of the church. On or around the time, we don't know. The Feast of Atonement, when he comes back with us and forgives the Jews of their sins. And then the Feast of Tabernacles, where we dwell with him. Right? So now we have a great understanding of God's plan, what will happen, and that we do know something. We don't know specifically, but we're watching and we're looking and we're seeing things happen all around us. Are you ready? Are you waiting? Are you anticipating the coming of Christ? Because he's coming. Are you ready? There is a parable Jesus gives of the 10 virgins. And it says when the groom comes for them, the five had their lanterns lit, but the other five had no oil in them. And when and they said, well, give us some of your oil. And they said, no. And the five virgins went with the groom. And those without the oil were left behind. Who were those left behind? Don't miss this. Jesus says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into my kingdom. Who are those who say, Lord, Lord? Is it the heathen? No. The heathen's not calling him Lord, Lord. It is the religious people who by their religion think they're right with God. They have not the Holy Spirit, which is a picture of the oil in the 10 virgins. So there's a lot of people proclaiming, oh, yeah, I'm a believer, but they haven't surrendered their life to Christ. The Holy Spirit is your guarantee and your seal of God for your inheritance with Him. So He spells it out for us. Your religion is not getting you to heaven. Period. I don't care how many times you go to church or how much money you give or how many songs you sing. If you haven't surrendered your life to Christ and He is your Lord and your Savior, you ain't making it. He says so, not me. And He spells it out for us so good, right? Like, who can't understand the ten virgins now? We all know what that means. It's not just the professing, but it's believing in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hebrews 10:25 tells us, listen, to hold fast our confession. We're still going through the proof. Hebrews 10:25, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh. He is the door, He is the way. Having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is a matter of some. So why do we come to church? Well, certainly to worship the Lord, to get fed. But He tells us right here to stir up love and good works and encouraging one another. Hey, man, good to see you. Praying for you. Hope you're doing well. He says, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Is it on the screen? Hebrews 10:25. Put it up there so they see it. Not forsaking the assembling together as is in a manner of some, but exhorting one another as you see the day approaching. What day is he talking about? Acts 2. We're not done. Almost. Acts 2. I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness. This is, he's speaking about the end times, the tribulation period. Darkness and the moon into blood. Now, we've seen pictures of this, haven't we? We've just seen the four blood moons, 2014 and 15. We've just seen the double blood moon, I believe it was on April 10th, and then we've seen the eclipse happen on the 21st, and exactly 21 days later, we see the revelation sign. Well, we didn't see it because it's a daytime event, but it's in the sun, in the sky. What does it mean? I don't know, but it's got to mean something, right? We're looking, waiting, and anticipating, and hoping. I will pour my spirit out. The sun shall be, or in Acts 2, verse 20, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. So there's events and things that are going to happen before that day. What day? The end, the tribulation period. None of this speaks about when we talk about the day, the rapture. Now, us not knowing the day nor the hour and waiting and watching, he's speaking about the rapture there, the calling home of the body. And so, I want to focus real quick on one point in Matthew 24. So that was like the introduction. We got 5 minutes left. Matthew 24:13 is not only inapplicable prophetically, but also presently. For in this world, Jesus said, we would have tribulations. This is why people, oh, we're going to be in the tribulation. Jesus said, we're going to be. He's not talking about the end time tribulations. So you know, right? Because there's people who will argue with you. No, the church is going through the tribulations. He just said that. No, he's not talking about that. Tribulations, hard times, difficulties. People, because you're a Christian, giving you a hard time, right? How many experience that? Our Christian life is a race to run. And this race is not a 100-yard sprint. It's a marathon. Each and every day, training up, denying myself, picking up my cross. And that means denying myself, dying to myself every day, being filled with the Spirit, and following Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 13, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." So this Greek word translated sozo, a word that refers to a full orb of God's blessing. In other words, according to the text, those who endure this marathon will experience the full blessings of Christ. So we have a call to endure. How are you doing in your endurance? How are you doing in your trusting in the Lord and your hope in God's coming and your waiting upon the Lord and anticipating upon the Lord? How are you doing in your call to make disciples, followers of Christ? Every one of us has a relative or a friend or someone we know that's not saved. Every one of us. How are we doing? Our responsibility is to show them the love of Christ. In the fifth chapter of the book of James, he picks up the theme of enduring to the end. He says in verse 11, "Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and have seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." So, in this passage brings us the question, Lord, if you are merciful and compassionate, why such suffering? You ever ask yourself that question? Like, because I don't have all the answers. I don't know. Like, couldn't we have done something about this? Why do you allow these things to happen? And James says, well, listen, remember Job. Remember all the things that happened to Job? Job's family died. You know, he's like he's having a coffee at breakfast time and all these things. Everybody's coming to him. Oh, the house collapsed on your kids. Your wife died. Your dog died. All these things happened. And he had friends that said, oh, you must have unconfessed sin. You're a sinner, right? But no, it says that Job was the most righteous man on earth. And he was tested of his faith. Right? Remember the heroes of the Old Testament. Don't lose sight of their examples. And there was a prophet named Jeremiah who was weary. His problems were mounting on all sides. And he was about to throw in the towel as far as the ministry was concerned. And Jeremiah, the Lord said, "You have run against the footmen. And if you faint in running against them, how are you going to stand against the horses?" In other words, if you're faint now because somebody told you they don't want to hear the gospel, oh, I'm never going to minister again. I'm never going to evangelize. Somebody told me to get lost. How are you going to stand firm for the faith when things get really hard, right? Think about the suffering that they had in their days. Your heads were cut off. They were beaten and flogged and cast out. You know, our feelings get hurt. Oh, that's it. I'm done. Right? I mean, that in some cases, certainly. The Lord went on in Jeremiah 12 to tell him that the Babylonians were coming to carry the Jews out of their homeland. And God knows what's coming, and he used this hard, difficult situation, listen, to prepare Jeremiah for what was coming his way. So often we want to, because we've seen people do this on television, oh, we want to cast it out in the name of Jesus, right? That's from the devil. No, not necessarily. Did you go to the Lord first? Lord, is this of you? If it is, show me, help me through it. Let me teach this lesson. And so the Lord was showing Jeremiah, hey, be strong. If you're faint right now, things are going to get difficult. And some may ask, why didn't God stop the problem before it happened? And the answer is, for the same reason he doesn't stop the issues in our lives, because this world has rejected his rule. All of humanity throughout all history has rebelled against God's sin, and that goes for me and you. John 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with all. And all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God, his name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that was all through him might believe. And he was not the light, but he sent to bear witness of the light." We are sent to bear witness of the light. This was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own. Who's that? The Jews. And his own did not receive him. But as many that receive him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but born of God, being born again of the Spirit of God. So this is why the Father does not promise to keep us from problems, but he promises to be with us through them. He sees what is ahead of us, and he prepares us for it. Listen, when a baby giraffe is born, the mother gives birth from a standing position. Now, they're like, you know, you could probably walk right underneath them. They're like 6 foot something, right? The bellies. So once the baby giraffe hits the ground, the mother begins to kick and nudge the baby until it tries to stand. And when it gets to its feet, the mother kicks him so he falls to the ground. Now, this happens over and over again for about the first hour of his birth, and it seems to us to be uncaring. Wouldn't you agree? But the reason the mother giraffe does this is because within the first hour of his birth, he will learn how to get up quickly and move away from dangerous animals that want to eat it and attack it. It's learning a lesson. The baby must learn to quickly. He must learn quickly how to stand up and get moving, even if it means getting mad at his mother and not understanding why she's doing it. Wow. Pretty cool, huh? You'd be mad at your mom if she was kicking you around too, right? But we understand. A baby doesn't understand. But as it gets older, it understands. So let me pick it up here. The key to endurance, Hebrews 11. God is with us. Hebrews 11. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy a passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ great riches than its treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. So having grown up in Pharaoh's court, Moses was in line to ascend the very throne of Pharaoh. Yet he chose instead to take on the reproach of Christ, to suffer rather than have the treasures of Egypt. And I love that example. Sure, we go through suffering and reproach, tribulations and difficulties, but even they are better than the best the world has to offer us, because the things that we have are fleeting. The money we have disappears. The looks we have go bye-bye. The fit bodies we have, they don't look so much 50 years later, do they? These gray hairs are moving right in at will, taking their own places. And so at 40 years of age, Moses said, I'd rather be with God's people than suffer, than remain in the place of pleasures of sin are for but a season. And he left the palace and he began to lead the people of Egypt out. 40 years he led them through the wilderness. It was hot, it was dry. This was his difficult time. How did Moses make it? He did. How did he endure the rejection, the dry times, and the constant troubles from within and without? Hebrews 11 tells us, by faith. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is visible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he who destroys the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea and by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempted to go through but were drowned. By faith, he trusted in the Lord. That's how he got through this. This is how we get through our hard times, our seasons of trials and tribulations. By faith, trusting in Christ, knowing he's with us, holding fast to the promises of God. By faith, Hebrews 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There's a substance. There's a place we're going. It's heaven. Jesus is there. We're going to see him. There's a substance of our belief. It's not a blind faith. And there's evidence, right? Evidence of things not seen. Well, we see it in nature. We see wind blowing. We can't see the wind. We see the effects of the wind, right? We see your life change. We can't see why, but we see the effects of the Holy Spirit working in your life. So it's not a blind faith, a stupid faith. It is a sure faith, right? It's in the substance of the things hoped for and the evidence of the things not seen. I could have never done this. This would be the last place that I thought I would be. A pastor teaching the Word of God. But it's a miracle. And God does miracles every day. Every Sunday, dead people rise to life in their seats. You might not even see them. We give a gospel message. Hey, if you don't know that the Lord is your Savior, they say the resurrection, they say a prayer to receive Jesus, and a miracle happens in their heart. They go from death to eternal life. The Spirit of God then enters into them, and then we watch them. We see how they walk along, but we're supposed to be here to encourage them. Hey, come on, come on. Like that mother giraffe. Hey, you probably don't want to do that. Get up, quick. Get out of here. Right? Forget about it. Winston Churchill, 248 pounds of solid inspiration, saw England through Germany's disasters. As the Third Reich dropped thousands of bombs on London, Hitler felt, as did others, international observers, that England would fall very easily. But this bulldog of a man, Winston Churchill, went out on the air time and time again, calling the nation to hang on and to believe. And England didn't go down. Years later, one of his alma maters, an exclusive prep school, asked him to speak at a graduation. And when he accepted the invitation, the headmaster of the school was elated. For weeks, he told the student body, soon Winston Churchill's coming here. Could you imagine? The most powerful orator in history is going to speak here. And when he comes, bring your pencils and papers and poised and be ready to write down what he's got to say. In many flowery introductions, Churchill finally arose from his chair, took the podium. He turned around to address the young man behind him and said, gentlemen, never give up. Never give up. Never, never, never give up. Then he sat down. And the students were stunned. The audience was amazed. And none of them never, ever gave up. This is the message of Christ. Hang in there. Don't give up. I'm coming soon. I've given you my Spirit to help you along the way. Hang in there. Endure these times. Watch and wait and anticipate my coming. And this is what Jesus is saying to us. Never give up. He that endures to the end shall be saved. So when the Father seems to be kicking your legs out from underneath you, when you see to be running hard against the footmen, know this. It's working out for the good of those who are in Christ, those who are called according to his purpose. God has a plan. He wants us to know and understand. And I pray today that you've been encouraged by God's word. You have a deeper understanding of what will happen, that your heart now is looking to the heavenly places of his coming again. Jesus will return. Are you ready?